I swallowed the lump of sadness in my throat.
He was pure. He has only been with me. I was it for him. And in every way that counts, he was it for me, too.
I expelled a mirthless laugh.
I gifted him my trust and heart. I never thought I would be able to do that with anyone, but I did with him. And now I discover he was not the man I believed him to be.
I stood and walked to the large window in the kitchen. It was black outside but for a few distant lights. I folded my arms over my chest, suddenly feeling cold.
I'm not so sure you are right, May said.
I tensed, then looked at my sister, still seated at the table. May nervously glanced to my other two sisters and shifted on her chair.
Our husbands are blinded by their hatred of him for what he did to them, for what he allowed to happen to us, especially Lila. But
she took a breath and continued.
In my heart, I do not think he is a bad man. I have thought about this often, Bella. Ryder was a good friend to me, and I believe that friendship was sincere, even though his later actions made it appear otherwise. For a time, I feared he was lost to the faith, but when he let us go, I saw the light within him shine through.
May sighed.
And today, I saw that he had fully returned. Ryder, not Cain, but the man he was away from the Order. He brought you back to us. A bad man could not, would not, have done that.
I let her words sink in. I tasted my falling tears on my lips.
I am so confused, I admitted. Too much has happened. I do not know what to think anymore.
The front door opened, and my heart fell when May's love walked through. In the light, I saw him up close for the first time. He was tall and broad, with searching hazel eyes. His skin was covered with colored ink markings. He was terrifying to look at. As if feeling my stare, he looked over at me, and I could feel him assessing me, too. He shook his head in disbelief. May went to his side. Despite our presence, Styx pulled her in for a heated kiss. I blushed at the sight. I knew then that this man was powerful. He took what he wanted whenever he wanted it. When he broke the kiss, he lifted his hands and communicated something to May. I saw my sister pale.
No, she said in shock.
Styx stood stoic in response.
What?
I asked.
Can I tell her? May asked.
He nodded. Styx kept his eyes on me as May spoke.
Ryder has informed Styx that the Order planned to attack us.
My heart raced as I remembered the gun practice, the prophet arming our people for the end of days, the sermons of hate.
Yes, I said. Judah is preparing them for the end.
May looked down at the floor.
So the hangmen are going in first.
She paused, then added,
The hangmen? And Ryder.
White-hot fear surged through my veins.
No, I whispered. He will kill Ryder. Judah, his twin, he will kill him.
Styx shrugged, the action igniting a fire inside me. Without conscious thought, I found myself rushing forward to where he stood.
Bella, May called, reaching out for my arm.
I wrenched it away from her touch. Styx raised his eyebrow at me, crossing his arms over his chest. It only served to infuriate me more.
You have no idea, I said, trying my hardest to control my overwrought emotions. You have no idea what Judah has been doing to Ryder for weeks and weeks. He has hurt him in every way possible. He cast him aside, severing any fraternal bond they might have once shared, and it broke Ryder's heart. His only family, the only person he has ever loved, tossed him aside because he tried to do the right thing.
My legs shook with anger, but I did not back down.
Ryder killed a man when he finally witnessed a Lord Sharon. He went against all that he has ever known to stop what he just knew was wrong. He was the prophet, yet he stopped one of the Order's most important practices. Do you know what that was like for him? No, you could not, because you did not live in that place. But I did. We did.
May tried to reach for me again, but I faced her and shouted,
No! May stepped back, and I turned to face Styx once more. He risked everything to save me. I do not know how he did it, but he switched places with his brother to save me from being taken by him. He turned on his flesh and blood to save me and return me to my sisters. And now you send him back into their arms? They will kill him! I waited for Styx to speak, to say something, but all he did was run his tongue along his bottom lip and shrug. I reared back in shock. I looked at my sisters. Lila and Maddie had their heads bowed, and May? May rocked on her feet, yet she said nothing. What kind of people are you? I asked, feeling ice trickle down my spine. May's lover used his hands to communicate with her again. May paled further and shook her head. He worked his hands more insistently, and this time, May looked at me and said, Styx wants me to tell you that you do not know Ryder like you think you do, and that now you are here with us, you have no place with him. Ryder will never be welcome here, ever. I laughed. I laughed and laughed as I shook my head in disbelief. Bella, May said. She was upset by this sudden tension between her love and me. I could see it. No, I said softly. I just need to sleep. I need to be alone. We just got you back, Maddie said, and my heart almost broke for my timid little sister. I know, sister, I said, but I cannot take all of this in. I'm struggling to see how this life is different. I met eyes with Styx again. To me, it appears that you have simply exchanged one controlling environment for another. I am worried that you are not free here at all. You have simply been given a greater cage in which to roam. My words were like a trigger to May's lover. His face reddened with barely suppressed rage. May took hold of his arm and made him face her. She put her hands on his cheeks, and he closed his eyes, breathing in deeply. Her touch seemed to calm the man down. Maddie, May said, please show Bella your old room. She can rest there. Maddie took my hand. I let her lead me away, up wooden stairs to a bedroom. Maddie hovered by the door as I walked to the bed and sat down. I let my eyes drift around the pretty furnishings, then out of the large window that overlooked a grass verge. Bella, Maddie finally said. I looked at my sister. Her head was down and her hands were clasped in front of her. I just want you to be happy. My heart shattered at her words because I knew that she meant it. Maddie had the kindest heart I had ever known. I know you do. Movement from the window caught my eye, and I saw a large, dark figure emerge from the trees. My stomach flipped. He was the most terrifying man I had ever seen. Someone is coming, I announced. Maddie sighed. That will be Flame. He never leaves me for long. That is your husband? Maddie nodded, and I saw her happiness light her from inside. Yes, he is the one I love. He is the other half of my soul. Flame stopped below the window and stared up at me. He looked to my side, and his lip curled into the beginnings of a smile. Maddie had moved beside me. My sister pressed a kiss to my cheek and walked toward the door. I dropped my head, feeling an ache begin to throb behind my eyes. Bella? Yes? I do not know much about matters of the heart, but I know what it is like to harbor feelings for a man people greatly disapprove of, who people regard as wrong, unsalvageable, or sinful. Maddie blushed. But I also know what it is like when you are in their arms, in their hearts. It is different. You can make them different. You can show them that they too can be saved, even when they believe they are a lost cause. Maddie looked me directly in the eyes. I know what Ryder has done is bad, and I can see how much of a toll all this has been on you. But I do not believe he is evil. He may be lost, confused, but I believe he can be saved. You, Bella, you can save him. You have that ability.
Maddie! I jumped as a loud roar of my sister's name came from below the window.
Maddie smiled.
I must go.
Maddie disappeared out of sight. I realized that gone was my timid little broken girl. In her place was a grown and strong woman. One that had just shaken my world. Chapter 14. Bella. I lay down on the bed and tried to close my eyes. The hours ticked by. I tried to find sleep, but it did not come. All I could think of was Ryder. I needed to speak to him. I needed to hear all this from him. The bedroom door creaked open. In the moonlight, I saw May enter the room. I sat up as she padded silently to my bed. Without speaking, she handed me a key. I frowned as I took it from her hand. Checking no one was behind her, May whispered,
"Go out the door, walk directly through the trees, then take a right. He's in the old barn."
"May," I said almost silently. Leaning forward, May kissed my forehead and helped me from the bed. She handed me a long black sleeveless dress, and I removed my white wedding garment and pulled it on. I slipped my feet into the sandals I had been wearing when I wed Ryder. I followed her down the stairs and out of the house. Turning, I met May's eyes and mouthed,
"Thank you."
May smiled and shut the door. I cast my eyes over the darkness surrounding me. I swallowed the unease I felt at being in such a strange, unknown place, and rushed to follow the directions May had given me, gripping tightly to the key in my hands. I had to get to him. My hurried steps were accompanied by the sound of night owls hooting and unseen crickets chirping. My breath came fast and hard as I cut through the dense gathering of leaves. I turned right and stopped dead when I saw an old wooden barn. A dim light came from the cracks between the wood, and I knew that just beyond the door was Ryder. I crept forward. I opened the door with the key May had given me and slipped inside, sealing myself in. Then I turned around, and the scene I was met with obliterated whatever was left of my broken heart. Ryder was in the center of the room, dirtied by the floor and secured by rusty shackles, long chains coming from the cuffs on his wrists. He was lying down on the dirty ground, his body radiating utter defeat, and I felt my soul cry out in sympathy. Once again, he was the prisoner. I realized then that no matter where Ryder went, here or the commune, he was always alone, would always be alone. He was an eternal outcast, never belonging in either world that he had walked in. The pain of that realization robbed me of my breath. Forcing my feet to move, I silently made my way over to the center of the barn, a single dim, bare bulb spotlighting the man I had given all of myself to. And no matter what I had been told since I had arrived in this strange place, I simply could not believe he was evil. Even though all the evidence pointed that way, I could not make my head nor my heart agree. He must have sensed my presence, because as I stared down at him, trying my very best to muster the courage to speak, he opened his eyes and looked directly at me. The minute his tired red eyes found mine, an expression of agony settled on his beautiful face. He turned away from me then. I knew it was in shame. My feet moved closer to him, one step, then two. Then I lowered myself beside him. I was far enough away that he could not reach me. But from where I sat, I could see him clearly. I could see his face with crystal clarity. I had to. I needed to. Know the truth. All of it. Nothing hidden. Everything bared. I folded my arms over my bent legs and waited for him to face me again. When he did, I almost crumbled. Hot tears flooded his eyes, and lonely teardrops tracked down his colorless cheeks. A fresh bruise was on his forehead. Recent wounds peppered his skin. He was beaten everywhere he went, yet he took it all. He dragged in a long breath and whispered,
"Harmony, you shouldn't be here."
"Bella," I corrected.
"Bella," he said softly, almost reverently. "You need to go. Just leave me alone."
I was not going anywhere.
"You are in love with May," I blurted.
Ryder's eyes widened. I had shocked him. I had shocked myself. I had so many questions, yet that was the first my unconscious mind decided to ask. I realized then just how much it had bothered me. Just how much pain the thought brought to my heart.
"No,"
Ryder finally replied.
You lie, I accused. I have been told everything, everything you have done, everything your brother has done, how you fought to win May's love.
Ryder's already pale cheeks turned ashen. The shackles that held him captive rattled as he pushed himself to a sitting position. He faced me, stared directly into my eyes. His shoulder slumped.
I thought I loved her. When I was chosen by my uncle to infiltrate these men, I was so out of my element. But I believed in the cause. Bella, I believed in our faith so hard I didn't dispute a single thing I'd been taught in the pasture.
He shook his head and ran his hand down his face.
When May arrived, bleeding out and dying, I figured out who she was pretty quick.
He pointed to the inscription on my wrist. I ran my fingers over the ink that had been forced upon me as a child.
I knew I had to gain her trust to return her to my uncle. And she was the only female I had ever really spoken to. I think that I wanted her because she was from the Order. I thought that she was just under the influence of the devil.
He expelled a self-deprecating laugh.
Fucked up, right? I truly thought that I had to help her soul. I honestly believed I was in love with her, that she was meant for me, and that I could save her. When I ascended, it was my biggest goal, to get her back, to have her by my side. I thought that was what I was meant to make happen, what God expected me to do.
What changed? I found myself asking. A sickened feeling had sprouted in my chest as I listened to him talk of wanting May. It was unbearable, yet I could do nothing to chase it away. Ryder's chest rose and fell as he fought to breathe through whatever he wanted to say next. Then he did, and that feeling in my chest evaporated.
You.
I stilled, breath held.
You've changed it all. You changed everything.
Ryder, I whispered brokenly. My fingers twitched. They wanted to reach for his and feel his warmth, feel his safe touch.
It is true. I was sheltered my entire life. I remained pure and fixed my efforts on the first woman that ever paid me attention. But it was all bullshit. My need for May was as fake as this fucking religion we have dedicated our entire life to.
Ryder turned his head away from me. I did not move. He looked at me again, self-hatred in his eyes.
Bella, when I ascended, I liked it. I liked the power. I felt like everything I had sacrificed was for something. I had a path, a purpose. Then it all started going wrong. I didn't know how to lead the people. The elders began losing faith in me. I didn't receive any revelations like I thought I would.
He choked on a devastated laugh.
Because no such thing existed. My uncle had made it all up.
He was smart. He and his sick friends found that by disguising their perversions under the veil of religion, they could lure people in. Broken, lost people looking for a reason to live. Helplessly searching for a better life. Instead, all he brought them was rape and repression.
You did not know, I said. You were brought up to believe it all. We all were.
I should have known, he replied sternly.
Bella, I lived here with the hangman for 5 years. I saw real life, the real world. I lived it. But all that time I held on to the belief that the entire world was wrong and our small commune was right. How fucking naive was that?
It was not naive, Ryder. That commune was your family. It was all you knew.
I know, remember? I lived it too.
He stared at me for the longest time, so long that I became nervous under his attention, so long that his torn and shamed face frosted into an icy expression.
I let it happen, he said dully. All of it.
I swallowed hard.
I allowed the clan's men to take Lila. They were meant to take May. Then I washed my hands of her and let Judah punish her.
You did not know what Judah would do to her, what the other elders would do. Even Lila believes you were trying to save her.
That's where you're wrong.
Every one of my muscles seemed to drain of blood.
Had I been wrong about Ryder?
I feared that all his pain and self-hatred was a ruse. But then his lips trembled,
and a single teardrop fell from his eye. And I knew he was the man I always knew him to be. I think deep down, I knew all along that Judah was bad, cruel, sadistic. Ryder, I cried, and began to move closer. He held out his hand, motioning for me to stop, the chains hanging from the cuff scraped on the floor beside him. I think I knew, but did nothing, because, Bella, if I didn't have Judah. An anguished noise slipped from his throat and his face contorted in agony. Then I didn't have anybody. I could not have stopped my tears if I tried. This time, no outstretched hand would have stopped me from reaching my husband. And this time, when I dropped down beside him, Ryder let me envelop his large body in my arms. He fell into my chest and let all the pain he harbored in his heart free. The chains dug into my legs where I sat. I did not care in the slightest. Ryder, I whispered, and smoothed his long hair back from his damp face. I am here. I am here. My words only forced a louder cry from his mouth. I rocked him back and forth, my tears falling to mix with his on the dirt-ridden floor. I'm all alone, he choked out through his agony. I'm so fucking alone. So fucking confused. No, I told him, and moved my hands to his cheeks. My heart tore at how much pain he was in. I had never seen someone so destroyed. Even in my worst times, I always had the love of my sisters. In recent times, of Brother Stephen and Sister Ruth. Ryder? He had had no one. Absolutely no one at all. And worst of all, most of the people he did know hated him. Truly, venomously hated him. Ryder broke down for many minutes more. When his tears ran dry, he inhaled a ragged breath. I deserve to die. There is nothing I can do to right everything that I've done. I fucking deserve to die. No, I said curtly. I kneeled in front of him, his face in my hands. I did not like the ominous tone to his voice. You do not, I challenged. Ryder squeezed his eyes shut and tried to turn his head. I refused to let him go. Bella, he whispered in defeat. You have me, I said vehemently. He had to know. I did not care what the men in this compound thought. You have me. I don't deserve you. What I allowed to happen to your sisters. You did not condone. Ryder shook his head. What does that matter? I knew what Judah was capable of deep down. I knew. But you loved him. He was the only one you had to love. It is easy to ignore someone's sins when love blinds you. More silent tears tumbled down his face. Ryder's eyes dropped, then he whispered, I still do. Fuck Bella, despite everything. I still love him. He's my brother. He's all I have. And I don't want to be alone. I'm so fucking lonely all the damn time. His huge dark eyes met mine. To my embarrassment, I still love him, even after I know he no longer loves me. I'm not sure he ever really did. I searched his eyes and saw the guilt and hurt within them. Because you are a good person, Ryder. A pure soul always finds love. Even through hate, they will always find the ability to claim love. I'm not good, he argued. I don't believe that. I smiled. Pressing my forehead to his, I said, Then I will believe it for you. Bella, he said in a strangled moan. But I did not let him speak any further. There was nothing else he could say that would change how I felt about him, how much I wanted him in this moment, in this life, by my side. Nerves filled me as I drew my mouth toward his. But Ryder held still and allowed me to join our lips. He let me take the lead. No man had ever given me that luxury before. Despite the sadness in his body, his lips were warm to the touch. I tasted his residual tears in my mouth, but I embraced it. His tears became my own. His burdens became mine to bear. A soft moan left Ryder's mouth, and he lifted his chained hands to my back. Heat traveled through me, ignited my every cell as my chest pressed against his. Ryder's mouth broke from mine, and he gasped, chasing for lost breath.
Bella, he murmured, moving my hand to lay a kiss on the center of my palm.
The affection in his eyes was my undoing, and I knew what I would do next, what I had to do next. I had no idea what tomorrow would bring. I could not predict the outcome, but I could take charge of tonight. I could show this perpetually broken man that he was no longer alone. I was here. I was still his wife. Ryder watched me with rapt attention, his eyes flaring as I nervously lifted my legs to straddle his thighs. My breathing was erratic as our gazes locked. Ryder swallowed hard, showing me that he was equally as nervous as me.
I want this, I reassured him.
I took hold of his hand and brought it to the hem of my dress. The long garment had already lifted to my knees. Ryder's warm hand landed on the back of my thigh, pushing the material aside.
The chains, I said, as the metal pulled harshly on his wrists.
They don't matter. We'll work around them.
My eyes fluttered closed as his fingers moved over my skin, making lazy circles that brought shivers to my spine. The heat from the humid air kissed my bare arms. Opening my eyes, I lowered my gaze until it collided with Ryder's. His previously pale cheeks were filled with warmth, his breathing labored with need. Looping one arm around his neck, I lowered the other between our bodies. I pulled on the waistband of his pants to take him into my hand. Ryder hissed as I found his hard length. My nerves fell away with the light breeze that passed through the barn.
Bella, he whispered,
and I smiled as his eyes closed in pleasure, my name a prayer on his lips. His free hand landed on my other thigh and began moving my dress upward. Heat built at my core. I moved my center over Ryder's hardness and gradually lowered myself down. As Ryder pushed inside of me, I brought my hand to his shoulder. I held on tight as I dropped myself all the way down until Ryder and I were fully joined. Until there was no space left between us, and he knew I was going nowhere.
Bella, Ryder rasped as I lifted myself up.
I never moved my eyes from his as I sank back down. My nails dug into his skin. I let out a soft moan as the feel of him filling me brought a lightness to my heart.
Ryder, I murmured.
He groaned and tucked his forehead into the crook between my shoulder and neck. My hands left his shoulders and threaded through his hair. As I increased the speed of my hips, I brought my mouth to his ear and whispered,
I am here with you. You are no longer alone.
Ryder's growl of response brought fire to my veins. He thrust up inside me, taking control. One of Ryder's hands dropped to grip my hip, and the other cupped the nape of my neck. Heat flooded between my thighs at the fierce look in Ryder's eyes, despite the crude feel of the taut chain pressing coldly against my spine.
Fuck. Bella,
he murmured as he guided the pace of my movements. Ryder's olive skin glistened as we moved faster, and the pressure that I had only felt one time before began to gather at the base of my spine. Ryder's length twitched in my channel, hitting something inside that made me shiver with pleasure.
Ryder!
I cried out in surprise, and his heavy-lidded eyes clashed with mine. He bit his bottom lip as he pushed his hips up to meet my own. My eyes rolled as the beautiful feeling of him within me became almost too much to bear. His hand on the nape of my neck pulled me closer. Ryder smothered my lips with his own and plunged his tongue into my mouth. The sensations were almost too much. He was everywhere. His taste in my mouth, his hands on my skin, his soul in my heart. Ryder's tongue dueled faster with mine. His hips increased to a maddening speed, and just as I could not bear the pressure filling me, a burst of pleasure rocked through my body so intense that I cried out against Ryder's mouth. Ryder stilled as my back arched, and we swallowed each other's moans of release as he filled me with warmth. We gasped for breath, hands roaming over backs and arms and skin. I wound us down, slowing the rhythm of my hips until I had rocked us to a halt. I tore my mouth from Ryder's, and our foreheads met. My fingers combed slowly through his long hair, and I let myself feel this moment in all its glory, in all its sweet, beautiful purity. When I opened my eyes, it was to see a look of such peace on Ryder's face that it sewed the broken pieces of my heart back together.
You are a good man.
I repeated the words I had uttered to him before we joined. Ryder was silent in the aftermath. I drew back my head and raked damp strands of his long brown hair from his face. Ryder closed his eyes under my touch, and I knew that what Maddie had said to me tonight was true. I loved him. Somehow, miraculously, in all of the madness, stress, and grief of the past few weeks, I had given my heart to this man, a man whose spirit was just as fragile as my own, and I could save him. I was determined to redeem him of his wrongs. As my fingers soothed the worry that he was holding inside, a smile of contentment tugged on his lips. That one action of happiness spurred me to make a plea, to beg for a promise from the husband I loved. Come back to me. Ryder tensed and his brown eyes rolled open. He searched my desperate gaze. Moving his hand to my face, he delicately ran his fingertip over my lips.
I have to go, Bella. I have to help those who helped us, and I have to try and save the people. I cannot let them be killed because of Judah's pride. Only I can do this, and it is down to me now. I need to do this.
I know, I said reluctantly, and I knew it was true. It did not mean that I did not wish it was different, that somehow we could all forget the past and simply rejoice in the fact that we were free. But we were not all free. As long as Judah lived, the elders lived, Ryder would never be free. Yet at the same time, I did not know the impact losing Judah would have on Ryder's heart. Even now I could feel that he still believed he did not deserve my love. He did not deserve to be around people that wanted him for the kind soul he truly was. I worried that he would completely break when he finally rid the world of his twin.
Just return to me, I begged again. I need you to survive. I need you to return home.
Ryder went to speak, but his raw voice cut out.
I have no home, he said sadly.
Taking his hand from my face, I placed it over my racing heart.
Yes, you do. Your home is right here.
Lost for words, Ryder leaned forward and took my mouth with his lips. He kissed me hard and long and deep.
You should go before you are caught. I could not bear for you to be hurt over this, he said.
I did not move for a few moments, then I forced myself to lift from his lap. Ryder's hand immediately reached for my own. I smiled. His body begged me to stay, even though his head told me to go. But what Ryder had not yet realized about me was that I rarely did as I was told. It was how all my personal strife had been caused. I had never been able to toe the line. With my free hand, I pushed on Ryder's chest and lowered him to the ground. He tried to resist, but one look at my face made him obey. I settled down over his body and wrapped my arms around his waist. My head lay over his heart. It instantly called to my own. The chains rattled as Ryder's hands threaded through my hair. Then nothing was said, and the sound of the chains was quieted by stillness. I knew what I felt for him, and by the way that Ryder's hands held me close and cherished me with their touch, I knew he felt the same way too. But I refused to confess my love yet. That would only come when he was freed from the heavy guilt that held him in its grip. It would come when he returned to my arms. Because tomorrow, if he managed to save our innocent people and rid the world of Judah's cruelty, then that would make Ryder a savior. No longer a destined false prophet, but a redeemed, liberated soul instead.
Chapter 15 Ryder. I watched the sun rise through the slits in the barn's wooden walls. Alone. Bella had left just before sunrise. She'd had to. It wasn't safe for her to be here with me. Though she seemed to not care. I felt a smile pull on my mouth at how defiant I had discovered she was. When I had awoken this morning, it was to Bella peppering kisses on my face. I loved her. If I had not realized it before, I would have in that moment. But I'd already known. I had known it from the moment she discovered who I was and didn't run. She wanted me, despite my transgressions. I couldn't wrap my head around it.
Return to me,
she had said as her goodbye. I had wanted to promise her I would, but deep down I knew I couldn't give her that vow. I didn't know how long I sat watching the sun rise slowly into the sky. I heard the sound of voices outside. The lock was turned, and the door opened. I braced, ready to see the Prez or VP. But it was neither. It was the brother I dreaded seeing most. It was the guy I had lied to worst. The one I could never forgive myself for deceiving. Smiler. My former road brother shut the door of the barn, a bundle of black leather in his hands. I watched him walk toward me with a blank expression on his face. His hair was tied back, and he was dressed as he always was, white shirt, leathers, and his hangman cut. He stopped before me and dropped the leathers to the ground. There was no cut in the jumbled mess, just a jacket, pants, boots, and a black shirt. Get dressed. Prez will be here in a few. You're going in first like you wanted. I know, I replied. AK came and told me the plan last night. Smiler glared at me, then bent down and freed me from the shackles. He turned on his heel. Guilt and shame cut me down as he walked away. A stranger to me now. As he was about to reach the door, I said, I'm sorry. Smiler stopped dead in his tracks. He didn't turn around, but he was listening. It was something. I stood, kicking the heavy shackles to the floor. I'm so fucking sorry. Brother. Smiler's shoulders rose and fell, and shocking me to all hell, he turned and walked back toward me. His expression was stone cold, but when he stopped in front of me, he asked, Why the fuck did you do it? Why the fuck did you give all this up, give us up? I've asked for you, man. I brought you into this club. You have any idea how fucking stupid I looked when you turned out to be a rat? So why? My head fell. I don't know. I shook my head. No, that's bullshit. I do know. Now. But I fucking didn't know that the faith I was raised in was a fucking sex ring. I had no fucking idea that everything I knew was wrong. I could feel Smiler's gaze boring through mine. You were my best friend, Ryder. You were my fucking brother. I don't let no one in. I don't ever get close to no one, but I did you. And you turned out to be a fucking rat. I know, I said, feeling like shit. I raised my head. I don't have the words, other than I'm sorry. If I could take it back, I would, in a second. I'd have stayed with the hangmen and told them exactly who was fucking with their business, but I didn't. And for that, I'm so fucking sorry. You were never in the Marines, were you? Oh, that was just some bullshit cover story. I sighed. I never served. I learned about medicine at the pasture. My uncle wanted me to be able to heal the people. I gave a sardonic laugh. He wanted me to appear Christ-like, a miraculous healer to our flock, but no, there was no military service. I never left my home once before I came here. Smiler's expression seemed to falter, but he quickly schooled his features and pointed at the clothes. You better get dressed. Prez is sending you in soon. And Ryder? I tipped my chin in response. You better not fuck this up. And it better not be another fucking trap. It isn't. You have my word. Well, your word ain't shit to me now. But I'll promise you one thing. He stepped right up to me. If you lure us into a trap, if this is some fucked up Oscar-worthy act, I'll fucking kill you myself. With that, my former best friend walked out of the barn. I threw on the clothes. As the familiar feel of leather smothered my skin, I felt something I hadn't felt in a long time. Right. All this shit felt so fucking right. The sound of voices came from the front of the barn. The door slammed open. Tank stood in the doorway. Get the fuck out, he ordered. The biker boots that felt so fucking good on my feet sounded like thunder on the old floor of the barn. The comforting smell of leather drifted to my nose, calming my nerves. When I reached the door and stepped outside, all the brothers were gathered around, all standing around a fucking matte black and chrome chopper. The same model I used to own. Smiler flicked the keys at me. Kai approached me, getting right in my face. He cast his disgusted gaze over my leathers. This ain't no fucking welcome home gift, you got that, dickhead? This is so you get the fuck in that place undetected, and so we can trace your every fucking move. Vike tapped the tank of the chopper.
GPS. What a fucking good stalking invention.
Kai's chest bumped into mine. One turn you shouldn't make. Any sign that you've jumped ship and joined your long-lost fucking Manson family and we'll know about it. His mouth went to my ear. And then we're coming for you. And your kitty fiddler brother. My jaw clenched. I won't fuck up, I said. I want those people saved. And I want all the other fuckers dead. And Judah? I forced the words from my mouth. You get him. As promised. Styx clapped Kai on the shoulder. Kai moved aside and Styx signed.
AK decided to give you a 4-hour head start to get your part in this done. We'll be right on your heels to come do ours. That entrance better be open like you said if there's anyone in our way. Kid, bitch, or dick. We'll fucking mow him down. Got it?
I nodded my head. Styx stayed planted in front of me for several seconds, fucking eyeballing me to push home his point. I glared back. The Prez smirked, then stepped out of my way. I threw my leg over the chopper's saddle. It took about 2 minutes for muscle memory to return and find my seat. I slid the keys into the ignition. As the engine roared to life, I noticed Bull up ahead on his Harley.
Bull will drive you out to make sure there's no fucking detour. Then you're on your own until we arrive. Styx signed. Don't fuck up.
Nodding, I revved the engine. Bull pulled out onto the narrow graveled road that led from the barn to the clubhouse. As the chopper cruised along the path, I focused on the task ahead. In a matter of hours, it'd all be done. I ignored the pit that was caving in my stomach. I had about an hour's ride until the shit hit the fan. I intended on just riding. Nothing was simpler than when it was just me in the open road. I'd forgotten all this, how good this freedom felt when I became the prophet. But I made a promise to myself to never forget it ever again. When I arrived at the fence, I felt nothing but relief. The wire had been cut as planned. Samson and Solomon had done their job. This fence was at the opposite end of the commune to the one we had escaped from yesterday, just in case. I slid through the fence and began tracking my way through the trees. With every step, my heart pounded harder and harder. I willed myself to keep going, picturing Bella's face in my mind. This has to be done, I told myself. My feet faltered when I thought of yesterday, when, as Judah was tied up, knocked out from my punch, we had managed the switch. Yesterday.
You ready?
I nodded at Solomon and took in a deep breath. Harmony had just been taken away for her wedding preparations. When Sarai had come to collect her, it had taken all of my willpower not to jump from my cell and slit the bitch's throat. But what haunted me most was the sadness in Harmony's eyes as she left my cell. I hadn't been able to comfort her. I was too wired. I needed to make this plan work. I had to be the one to meet her at the altar. I couldn't let her be under Judah's hand. No cause was worth that. Solomon left the cell and I sat down. And I waited. There wasn't anything inside me that doubted Judah would come. I wasn't stupid enough to think it was out of love. Judah would come here for his own selfish pride. He'd come to celebrate his victory of breaking me. Then I'd take him down. Brother Stephen appeared at the doorway, a cloth in his hand.
Are you ready?
He asked. I nodded. You have the chloroform?
Yes,
he replied, and held up the white rag. I had been amazed at what the defectors had managed to smuggle in from Puerto Rico.
Cain, maybe it is best if we take him out now, permanently.
His suggestion immediately filled me with such emotion I could barely breathe. I shook my head. If we want the hangman on side, we need to keep him alive. He is the leverage. Believe me, there are more than just us who want him dead. Inhaling, I said, keep him sedated. Make sure he looks like me. I will convince the hangman to return before the 4 days of the celestial cleansing are over. No one should look for him in that time. And I can come back in and free the people. I will assure the guards and people that I have exorcised the devil from Harmony in record time and that she is resting. They'll be too blinded by my success to doubt me. At least for the time we will need for everything to work, I sighed. I will order the people to the far side of the commune where they will be safe. I will gather the guards and elders somewhere the hangmen can find them. My jaw clenched. Then I will hand Judah to them too. They will take it from there. Brother Stephen nodded. Are you sure you all want to do this? I asked. It's risky. So many things could go wrong. Are you prepared for the punishment that could fall on you if we fail?
I am ready. I am ready to die if that should happen too.
He gave me a watery smile.
I have failed my daughters too many times to count. I will not fail this time.
And Sister Ruth? I said. Something flashed behind Brother Stephen's eyes at the question.
She has her reasons to fight, too. She is ready for whatever the stars have planned for us.
I heard the sound of people approaching outside. Brother Stephen met my eyes, silently wishing me luck. He shut the door, and I moved to the corner of the room. I waited. The door burst open, and without looking up, I could sense it was my brother. Slowly, I lifted my head. Judah glared at me through narrowed eyes, his arms crossed over his chest. He was dressed in his wedding tunic. I was relieved. So far, the plan was working. "Judah," I whispered, ensuring my voice was raw and vulnerable. "Thank you for coming." Judah didn't say anything at first. When I shifted to my knees, Judah staggered back. But I kept my head down and gradually lifted my hand. This was how our scholar had always told us to greet my uncle. It showed his supremacy over us all. Our submission. A long breath escaped Judah's mouth. I almost screamed as I recognized that sound of victory. I had told Judah so many times in our lives that he let his pride blur his vision, govern his choices. It was what I relied on for this moment. His hand reached out and landed on my head. For a moment, feeling his touch, my confidence waned. But I closed my eyes tightly and brought Harmony's brave yet fearful face to mind. I had to do this for her.
"You have chosen to repent?"
Judah asked. "Yes," I replied. "I want to repent for doubting our ways. I have thought and thought of what I have done to you, to our people, and I cannot. I let my words fade on a choked cry.
"Look up," Judah commanded.
I lifted my head. I studied Judah's face, his hair. I drank in how he was wearing his tunic, everything I possibly could.
"My brother," I whispered, forcing tears to my eyes. "My prophet."
Judah's eyes flared at my reverence, and his hand tightened in my hair. He kneeled down, placing his face directly in front of mine. Judah's hand drifted down my face, then fell to land on my shoulder. My chest squeezed as he touched me, but all I could think of was what Sister Ruth had made me realize days ago. Judah had never cared for me. This act of affection was all for power. Everything he did was calculated, measured for his optimum gain. Nothing was pure in his soul. Not anymore.
"I have missed you, brother," he said,
and a smile formed on his lips.
"When I was told you wanted to repent, I had to come and see you. I never wanted to hurt you, brother. But I had no choice. You pushed my hand."
"I know that now. I understand." His head tilted to the side.
"And you will adhere to our practices?"
Bile rose in my throat, but I forced myself to nod my head. "Yes," I said. "I will fall into line. I will stand proudly by your side. You were always the one who should have been our leader. I see that now." Judah's nostrils flared in triumph.
"And after my isolation period with the cursed has ended, you will take a consort in my honor."
I nodded my head. Judah leaned forward.
"You will awaken a child. In my honor, we have three that have been prepared for next week's post-wedding celebration."
My cheek twitched as a sudden, blistering anger roared through me, but I quelled it enough to say, "Yes, I would do anything for you. Anything." Judah opened his mouth to say something else, when a loud crash came from the entrance of the cell, and I heard Solomon and Samson raise their voices as if they were under attack. Judah's attention snapped to the door.
"What the—"
he began, and I launched from the floor and tackled him to the ground. Judah's wide, shocked eyes were the last thing I saw as I raised my clenched fist and slammed it against his jaw. Judah lost consciousness immediately. I was careful where I'd hit him. I couldn't draw blood and stain his pristine white tunic. "Now," I called out, and several feet immediately came rushing into my cell. Brother Stephen smothered Judah's mouth with the chloroform-coated rag. Solomon and Samson helped me rid Judah of his clothes. In minutes, I was dressed in the tunic, and Sister Ruth had applied the makeup to my bruised skin. Judah was now dressed in my filth-ridden pants. My heart pounded as adrenaline rushed through me. Sister Ruth stepped back, water filling her eyes. "Well," I asked, "will I pass as him? The bruising is not too much?" Sister Ruth looked down to the unconscious Judah on the ground. and then back to me.
The guards have not harmed your face too badly in recent days, so it is fine.
She paused, then said,
The two of you are completely identical in every way. It is astonishing.
I breathed out a sigh of relief, but Sister Ruth's sudden sadness touched something inside me. She did not belong in a place like this. Her soul was too kind, too tender. She only looked to be in her late 30s. If I could just pull this off, she could have a life outside. A good, happy life. Another reason why I couldn't fail.
Brothers Luke, Michael, and James were in the Prophet's quarters when I collected him, Solomon said. They have already gathered the people for the ceremony. Judah told the brothers he would be back. Then they would go straight to the altar.
I cast a glance down at my unconscious brother.
We will be fine, said Brother Stephen.
I inhaled deeply. Just as I was about to leave, he said,
Protect her, Cain. Take her back to her sisters. Just get her to a better life.
I will be coming back for you, I promised. He nodded.
I believe you can do this.
I cast a final look down to my twin sprawl on the ground. My gut twisted, and I knew that when the hangmen came, Judah would pay. It had to be that way, but I could barely stand the thought of being without him. He was my brother. I left the cell block and went out into the fresh air. When I arrived at the mansion, brothers Luke, Michael, and James were there, exactly as Solomon told me they would be. Brother Luke watched me closely as I entered.
Did he repent?
I nodded my head and smiled as Judah would do, a prideful smirk. Of course. He was never going to stay in that place forever. He has pledged his allegiance to me, and he accepts me as his lord and prophet. Brother James looked behind me.
Where is he?
I waved my hand. He is filthy and not fit to be seen yet. I will collect him after the 4 days have passed. I forced a salacious smile onto my lips. Then I will reintroduce him into the fold at the post-wedding lord sharing.
He will participate.
Brother Luke asked suspiciously. I smiled even wider. Not only that, but he will awaken a child. Brother Luke reached for my hand and kissed the back of it with reverence.
You are truly the prophet, my lord. God has blessed you. He has blessed us with your power.
I placed my hand on his bowed head. Come, I said. We have souls to save. I turned back to the daylight and led the way out of the mansion, praying that I had played my part sufficiently well. I waited for a hit or strike to come from the men behind me, but none came. As we arrived at the altar, I gave a long sigh of relief. I looked at the bed in the center of the raised platform. A new nervousness flooded my veins when I thought of what I had to do, what Harmony must do with me so we could be free. I waited at the altar, waiting for my bride, all the time praying that Judah did not wake and foil our plan. Then Harmony appeared at the end of the aisle, and all thoughts of Judah fled my mind. I had only one focus now, one reason to live. And she was walking toward me, flowers in her hair, looking like an angel sent from heaven. Just beautiful. The sound of people rushing around brought my thoughts back to the present. I crouched by a nearby tree and looked over the commune that should have been sedate. The people were out in force. Tension thickened the atmosphere, and no face looked calm. I had no idea what was happening, but when I saw guards barking out commands, it hit me like a truck. They were preparing for the war. I slinked back into the trees. My heart raced as fast as my feet as I ran through the thick foliage and over to the cell block. Only a day had passed. The people should be in celebration, not preparing for the attack. I burst through the entrance, only to see overturned chairs and tables on the floor. I searched each of the cells. They were all empty. My stomach dropped to the floor. No one was here. Judah was gone. They were all gone. What the hell could have happened? I pushed my hands through my hair as I tried to think of what to do next. Then a noise came from behind the cell block. As quietly as possible, I snuck around the building to see what it was. There was a small cell built into the wall. It looked like it had been meant for guard dogs. Somebody was putting a young girl inside. I sighed in relief when I saw it was Phoebe. I whipped my head around, scanning every possible inch of land. She was alone. I silently stepped toward them. Phoebe jumped as she saw me, but I made it to her in time to slam my hand over her mouth.
Shh, Sister Phoebe, it's me, Kane, the real Kane. I am back. Phoebe's body was rigid in my arms. I'm gonna let you go. Please, don't scream, okay?
She nodded her head and I slipped my hand from her mouth. She turned to face me, blocking the child in the tiny cell from my view. Phoebe's face was pale and I could see how much weight she had lost. She was still sporting bruises on her face, neck, and hands.
You did it,
Phoebe said, staring at my clothes. Her eyes glistened.
You took her to them. Harmony, you got her out. She is safe.
I nodded my head and tension seeped from Phoebe's shoulders.
Is she well?
This time I knew she wasn't talking about Bella. Lila. She was referring to her sister.
Yes, I said. She is well and happy. She is married.
I didn't tell her about her hair, the scar, the surgery. Phoebe was already broken enough. If I got my shit together and pulled this off, she would see Lila soon enough. Phoebe chased her tears away with her hand. I felt sympathy for her sadness, but I needed her to speak. I needed to know what had happened. Phoebe, where are they? Where's my brother? What the hell happened? Phoebe shook her head, devastation on her face.
He arrested them all. Brother Stephen, Ruth, Solomon, and Samson.
I started to panic. How? What?
Brother Luke.
I froze.
He and the guards came for you at sunrise this morning.
She took a quick breath.
He knew you had repented and wanted to prepare you for the post-wedding Lord Sharing. He wanted to bring you to the mansion, feed and bathe you. He wanted the prophet to return to see his brother ready to stand by his side.
No, I said, feeling my cheeks lose their color. He found Judah? Phoebe nodded her head.
He had been subdued by the medicine Brother Stephen was giving him, but it must have worn off or been ineffective, because when Brother Luke came into the cell, Judah managed to tell him who he was. Then all hell broke loose. The defectors tried to fight Judah's guards, but there were too many. Samson and Solomon could not take them all on. Brother Luke took Judah away, and Judah told them what had happened, what you had done. The guards searched the isolation house and discovered you had never even been in there, and that you had taken Harmony with you.
I closed my eyes. My head swam as I tried to take it all in. A hand landed on my arm, and I opened my eyes. Did you see this? I asked her. Phoebe nodded her head.
The other women who had been caring for you were given the day off for the celebrations. I had been sent with your food when it happened. I managed to hide from sight.
I am so sorry, I said, and meant every word. My body felt weak with fear and hopelessness. Phoebe sniffed.
Cain, he has punished them. Ruth, Stephen, Solomon, and Samson, he is preparing to kill them for their defiance. Your kidnapping of Harmony, taking her from the wedding, has thrust everyone into a frenzy. They believe this is God spiting us. Judah has told them God is testing us to see if we can truly beat the devil. The attack is scheduled for tomorrow. He brought it forward. He wants revenge.
She lifted her hand to her forehead.
It is a mess. Everything is a mess.
The sound of soft crying came from the cell behind Phoebe. Her eyes widened and her hand dropped to her side in defeat. Phoebe? I asked, and moved her aside by her shoulders. I crouched down and saw a huge pair of blue eyes looking up at me from the tiny cell. A little girl with long blonde hair. I knew in an instant what she was. I straightened and met Phoebe's eyes.
She is called Delilah,
Phoebe whispered. I stood still, fucking stunned. Phoebe's eyes closed tightly. When she opened them again, she said,
She is 2 months away from her 8th birthday.
My blood turned ice cold.
He has already declared her accursed and...
She cried.
He has decided to be the one to awaken her when the time comes.
Judah. Motherfucking Judah. Phoebe's eyes fell to the little girl who was looking up at her like Phoebe was her son. Phoebe bent down, and the little girl reached through the bars. Phoebe kissed her hand.
She arrived not long before Harmony and the others did. I saw her being brought to him by his men. As soon as I saw the happiness in his eyes at her beauty, I told him I would care for her until it was her birthday, but Cain, I always planned to get her out somehow before then.
Phoebe kissed the little girl's hand once more, then stood to face me.
Sister Ruth was to take her if for some reason I could not get out too. I cannot see her hurt, Cain. Not like I did my sister. She looks just like Rebecca did when she was her age, and—